Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pixelated Podcast. I'm Patrick Reif.
And I'm Alex McGlynn.
And today we're going to talk about 8 hybrid event ideas.
So, if you don't know, we're going to give a quick explainer of what a hybrid event is, and then Pat's going to share some reasons for why it's valuable, and then we're going to share some ideas. So, what's a hybrid event? A hybrid event is a combination of an in-person event and a virtual event that are happening at the same time with the same goal under the same branding and umbrella. So, a lot of event planners and a lot of conference planners and a lot of event professional, meeting professionals in general have chosen to still host an in-person portion of their event. So again, a lot of venues are allowing 30% capacity. So they're still able to have some portion of their attendees come in person. It works really well for the local folks. So if you were hosting an event in Houston, let's say, anyone who's in the Houston area that was planning to attend, it is, assuming they feel safe and you're creating a safe environment for them, might feel comfortable coming in person because they don't want to sit in their living room when the event is happening just down the street. But for those of us in, you know, the Baltimore region, for instance, that want to attend but don't feel comfortable getting on a plane or feel like maybe it's a little irresponsible to do so, can still happily attend from the comfort of our lovely podcast studio or our home offices or living rooms or whatever, and still learn and grow and get takeaways and still be able to network and get something out of it without having to travel. So again, that is kind of the basic idea. You're taking the virtual and you're taking in person and you're blending them together to create a hybrid event.
Yeah. So why are hybrid events valuable? They are valuable for a variety of reasons. Some are short-term, some are long-term. They're valuable right now because you can still have people that wanted to show up to your in-person event but can't travel from Baltimore be able to attend, right? So it allows you to have a secondary channel by which people that aren't able to physically come to wherever you are for your event to still be able to attend. So what does that mean? It means that you don't lose engagement with your community. It means that you potentially don't have as big of a fall off in revenue. It means that you still have places and opportunities to be able to activate sponsors that have maybe already bought in with you, so you don't have to write refund checks. In the long term, the value is going to be that it gives you the opportunity to build an entirely new digital-only audience that is accessible anywhere in the globe. So your total addressable market that you're able to expose your conference, you know, education conference, learning platform, you know, training program, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden it is that much bigger. So if you really embrace the idea of hybrid events as opposed to just virtual events and know that you're nurturing two different audiences, you know, in 4, 5, 6 years, you could look up and be sitting on top of a massive empire that you never would have been able to facilitate by just being a local live event that served a very specific geographic region.
If you can't tell, we really like the idea of hybrid events and we think they're the future.
Yes.
And we think that that is where the globalization of the events industry is probably taking us, maybe a little more rapidly than we were all prepared for, but, you know, got to learn and adapt. So let's get into the ideas.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to say full stop. You need to be recording everything that happens at your conference. Everything. So if you have a presenter, you need to be recording it. If you have workshop breakout sessions, you need to be recording when people present their ideas. So again, have a recording of everything, full stop. There's a lot of things you can do with it. We'll get into some of them later on, but that is just a general, you must do that. If you're hosting a virtual event, a hybrid event, or an in-person event, record everything. So why are we recording everything? Number one, because you can repurpose those sessions for marketing pieces in the future. There are a lot of cool tools out there that will take all of the audio that you've been able to record and transcribe it for you into text formatting. Those are really easy ways to get cool sound bites, to get quotes, blurbs, etc. that can be repurposed for website content, for email content, for marketing content when you're trying to get folks into your event the following year. And you can take all those videos and dice them up and create really kind of exciting highlight reels that show people exactly what you what they're going to learn and what they're going to be able to see and experience at your event. For those of you who know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, he does a great job of dicing up, he or his marketing team, someone does a great job of dicing up his talking and speaking engagements, and kind of blending them together to show why you should come to his next conference. And then obviously at the end, you know, there's a link to a ticket so that you can attend as well. You can do the same thing with your conference. I'm sure there are amazing things. There's probably some things that are getting people really amped up. They're not going to know about them if they can't see them, though.
And that was an episode in and of itself. It's like 11 minutes.
No, was it?
No, I'm just joking. So number two.
I can get a little long-winded. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Alex is passionate. Very spicy. So number two, special content for virtual attendees. Look, the people that are coming in real life, they get a whole lot of special that the virtual attendees aren't going to get, whether it's, you know, carrot cake, or it's like a coffee bar, or it's, you know, like the balloons and the decor and the music and the smell and the people and the feel and all that stuff. So think about your virtual attendees and figure out how to create awesome shit that they only get. So, do you have some badass speakers coming in? You know, can you facilitate a special Q&A that's just five questions deep? And maybe it's pre-recorded, so it doesn't even, you know, interfere with their schedule, but release it only to the virtual attendees. That kind of stuff people love. Maybe if you do have a sponsor that is looking to get some more kind of FaceTime with potential buyers or something like that, can you facilitate like a 5-minute speed dating session where the sponsor still only has to give up, you know, 20 minutes of their time because there's only 4 seats available, but, you know, like, you gamify how the virtual attendees get access to be able to do that. Just think about it. You know, like, I'm confident that as long as you pose the question to yourself, you'll be able to think up some really creative ideas. But do that. Make sure that you go the extra step to make the individual type of attendee tickets differentiated, and having value props for both of them, because you don't want your virtual attendees to feel like it's a completely lesser experience. What you want is you want them to think that it's a different experience.
100%. Yeah. Again, different, but still really valuable. And, you know, giving them something that is going to make them feel special is important. It's not easy to be a virtual attendee. They still want to feel like they're getting value out of it and they experience cool things that they're not missing out on anything. So think through it. It doesn't have to just be exclusive content. There's a lot of other things you could do to try and make them feel special. Again, think about it. And get outside your comfort zone, get outside the box with your ideas. So next up, this is definitely getting outside your comfort zone and your ideas, because this goes against a lot of the way that people think about their events. But create a freemium ticket with limited access for your virtual attendees. So a lot of conferences and events are very expensive. They cost a lot of money to attend. And there's a reason, because you are creating amazing content that is going to help further someone's career, or help them make new partners, find new partners, or increase their business development opportunities, or network, or find something that makes it valuable, and they're going to be willing to pay $500 to $3,000 to attend your conference. And you shouldn't want to give all of that away for free, especially to virtual attendees. That definitely doesn't make sense. But there are probably pieces of your event, like keynote speakers, that you should be giving people access to, because what you want with virtual attendees is as many eyeballs as possible on your event. So if you can tease them with some free content like a keynote speaker and pump it out through social media and get people excited about it and get people to tune in who would have never paid for a ticket to come in and just see a little taste of your conference or your event, you have a much better chance of getting them to remonetizing them the next year. So if I tune into your event to watch a keynote speaker or to watch a specific portion or workshop or something like that, and I like it and I'm enthused and I feel like I got something out of it, you can bet I'm gonna bookmark your event for next year and pay for a ticket so that I can get the rest of that content that I didn't have access to. Freemium works. There's a reason that software companies all over the world are doing it. Give away a piece of it so that people can get an idea of how amazing everything behind the paywall is going to be, and use it as advertising and use it as marketing during the event, live event, experiential event marketing in its truest form, where you're giving someone a small taste of how amazing things could be if they're willing to pay for a ticket next year.
Yeah. So next on the list is event-specific product offerings. So the opportunity there is, you know, who are you working with? What are your sponsors comprised of? Do they have specific product offerings that you could bundle up and serve out to your attendees and audience? Like, it stands to reason that if you are producing a conference that is about healthcare, and you have a bunch of healthcare providers or companies that produce products for the healthcare industry that are your sponsors there, that they would be thrilled to be able to bundle up some entry level freemium version of their product or low test version of their product, where you're really able to continue to add value to it. So, you know, when you're looking at taking an event and you're losing the in-person touch, and you know, you're losing the catering and the hospitality side of it, you know, you want to look and identify all the ways that you can add value on the other side of it, and looking towards creating like very specific product offerings that people get to interface with and they can take away. It's going to also extend the life of the impact of the conference, because, you know, that following Monday when they pull open their grab bag and they go and start checking out, you know, the free Pixie Web subscription that they get to try out for 30 days, or, you know, maybe it's like a credit from AdWords or anything along those lines. Like, that's a really great way to add specific dollar value. You know, like, you're going to get a package of, you know, it's like a coupon book, right? Everybody's like, those are cheesy, but you know, you're like in there looking for like the coupons that you want to use in your space. So the same thing is true inside of the business world.
They're cheesy, but they work and people use them.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up, this actually kind of goes hand in hand with my last point about freemium tickets. And actually, on the note of freemium tickets, the other benefit to that is that you're getting their contact info. If you make them sign up for it, you're still getting their contact info so that you can hit them with some of this amazing marketing material we've been talking about. Again, to monetize them and get them to be a paying customer. Additionally, you can syndicate streaming onto other platforms. Again, you don't want to give the whole boat away for free, but you can give people a test drive. You can let them watch a keynote speaker. You can let them watch a specific session. Stream it on Periscope and Facebook and Instagram, and I guess LinkedIn now has streaming, and Twitter, and get it out there as far as you possibly can to get as many eyeballs on your brand. One, it's going to make your sponsors way more money and way happier. There's nothing sponsors love more than having hundreds of thousands of eyeballs on their brand and their logo.
It's true.
So don't think about it like giving it away for free. Think about it like you are creating more value for your sponsors and hopefully getting them to open up their pocketbooks a little bit more next year. But two, you're getting a lot of potential customers to see your event and experience a piece of the amazing content that you've been able to put together. So again, if you're going to have like a live band play or something like that, consider giving it away for free over streaming if they're okay with it. Again, check with your speakers and your entertainment before you do anything like this. But as long as they're on board, they really probably want exposure more than anything else as well. As long as they don't know one's making any money from it, they should be cool with it, and they should be happy with getting their name out there. So again, take the time, think through it, maybe find a specific piece of your event you think is going to be a real big wow factor for the general public. Get it out there, because you never know when you're going to find your next attendee or company or sponsor by doing something like that.
Yeah, play the long game. Play the long game. Just because they're not coming in through your paid portal right now doesn't mean you can't give them, you know, like, they're going to feel a distance between being an attendee and watching the Facebook Live or the Insta Live of it. Like, it's not quite the same production quality. It's not quite the same frame. Like, the person is, you know, like, we're on Instagram Live right now. Like, they're there and hanging out and it's wonderful, but like, they don't have our full attention, right? You have our full attention. So there is still value that is separated between the two. So don't think that you're just giving the whole cow away for free, because it's definitely not the case. Building on that, so earlier we talked about recording everything, so that way you have the content for marketing purposes, whatever the case may be. Just now we talked about syndicating onto additional channels. That syndication also going to create most likely an archive document that you can save and you can redistribute. So next on our list is deploying your recorded content, but not for marketing. Deploying your recorded content to add value for your attendees. And that means two different things for the two different types of attendees. For your virtual attendees who are going to have seen a lot of this content through a portal, right, through their laptop, through their phone, wherever they're attending through. Is it the same content? Yes, most likely. Were there different sessions happening simultaneously that maybe they had to pick one and they wanted to see them both? That's definitely going to be true.
Happens all the time.
Were there things that were like total like eye-openers for them, aha moments, things that they want to share, reference, make notes about, tell their colleague like 100%. So there's a huge opportunity in saying like, here's the encyclopedia of that event that just rocked your world. Use it as much as you can. On the other side of the coin, everyone that attended in real life, not as easy to take notes. No. Definitely you want to be in the moment more, right? So you're not indexing it in quite the same way. And then also, you won't have watched it through that same portal. It won't have felt like a webinar to you at all. And to be able to have access to go back in those events that you couldn't attend in person, if there are some of those special pieces of content that were only available for virtual attendees the day of the event, but now also like we're going to sneak out the like 10 tips from Damon John on how to like acquire your first real estate rental property, or you know, like teasing that back out, all of a sudden the community side of what you're doing, from a dissemination of information, consolidating of points of view, holding like bonfire talks around which our community wants to share info, that becomes richer and richer and richer when you're taking all that content that you captured and you're deploying it back into the immediate community.
Yeah, 100%. And so just as another easy example, I go to a lot of sales conferences. I've been to a lot of sales conferences. There are times where we're provided recordings afterwards, and it's amazing because I can share it with my team, especially if there was something that I think was particularly valuable for, like, you know, an SDR or an account executive or an account manager. I can send that group of people the video so that they can watch it and, you know, experience the same takeaways and learnings that I did. Conversely, when that's not available and it's not easy to get to, it feels like it makes it more difficult for me to share that with others. And really what you want is people to be sharing information and sharing what they learned, because that gets people jazzed up and increases the total number of people that are gonna go to your conference. There have been plenty of times where I went to a conference 1 year and then the next year took 4 members of my team because I felt like it was that valuable. That's what you want to happen. Similarly, but different, you want to be able to tailor your network experiences for the virtual and the in-person folks as well. So people go to events to network. That is not the primary reason every time, but it is always a piece of the pie. So obviously, as a sales professional, my primary goal is to network, find new partners, find new vendors, find interesting people in the industry I can bounce ideas off of, find mentors, find potential employees. All that kind of thing happens when you are at an event. It is kind of the lifeblood of the events industry. It's what keeps people coming back to conferences year after year after year.
It's where you have drinks.
Yeah. The same thing is true for virtual events, and it can be continue to be true for virtual events. But the reality is it's really difficult to create networking for virtual events if you aren't intentional about it. So setting up Slack channels, setting up group meeting rooms, creating topics around which they can discuss, maybe taking some time out of the conference when you're having a happy hour in person, and creating a virtual happy hour environment for people to log into and share ideas and communicate. You need to be thoughtful about how you're doing it, because if you're not, it's not gonna go over well, and people are gonna lose out on a part of what makes conferences and in-person events so amazing.
Yeah.
So make sure you're intentional about it. And I know that there are a lot of folks out there who are trying to create crossovers between the in-person and the virtual audience. I don't think that if you can figure out a way to do it, amazing. I don't think it's wise. The people who are there in person are not going to want to sit in front of a computer screen and talk to someone who's sitting in their living room over Zoom. It's awkward, and it's weird enough to video chat with someone you don't know.
Yeah.
So I think maybe hit the pause button on that. And instead, what Pat's going to talk about next is create community.
Yeah, create community for sure. I think one of the other things that that we had kind of talked about leading up to this question is don't be afraid also to like suck the networking experience out of whatever your regular platform is. This is something I've seen people done, but the analogy that we gave is a lot of times when you're attending a conference, you know, you're at the Marriott all day, in San Diego at the waterfront, and you go through all your conferences, and 5 o'clock hits, and it's the last one, and you know, 6 o'clock or 6:30 is when like the evening event begins. People are expecting to like, they're gonna go back up to their hotel room, they're gonna freshen up, right? They're gonna maybe change their outfit, and then they're gonna head out for the evening networking event. So in that sense, the opportunity to kind of change the setting really will help people mentally prepare to kind of move on into like more maybe a networking at ease kind of mindset. So, you know, look at the additional thing, like things like house party or any other kind of like breakaway setting where you could hold that networking event that maybe isn't inside of the Zoom or the webinar platform. Could be a good way to also help people realize that like we're moving into a different kind of tone of the evening.
Quick shout out to House Party. They also have games built into their video chat platform, which makes it even more engaging and feels less awkward than something like Zoom. So think about that. Think about creating some specific events or engagement ideas around the virtual networking to make it less awkward. Icebreakers are a huge help.
Yeah. And you use software that's meant to be fun, that's not meant to be like crazy efficient. Sometimes like coloring outside of the lines is really good. So number 8 on our list for hybrid event ideas, this kind of picks up where Alex was leaving off, which is giving attendees access to one another, building community, maybe doing both of those simultaneously. So what we mean by that is there's never been a better time to really figure out how to facilitate a long ongoing community. So just because you're having a virtual event that is focused on the HR space for whatever nonprofits doesn't mean that those folks are ready to stop learning when the event is over at the end of the day. And if there is already a hybrid component, there is a virtual component, if there is all of this content that is being recorded and it needs a repository or a place to live, like why not think it the next step through? And rather than having your attendees, whether it's in real life or whether it's a virtual attendee, rather than have them just purchase a ticket, what if, you know, with their ticket also comes membership to this community, right? And it gives you this opportunity to not only facilitate access to your attendees directly, but also to be able to stay in touch with them, to be able to query them more frequently about additional events, new ideas that you have, things that you want to fire out there, keeping them more engaged, creating more opportunities to provide more value to them on an ongoing basis will undoubtedly lead to a far more robust community. It will set you up to have astronomical success when you plan your next hybrid event and your next hybrid event and your next hybrid event, and it'll pull you even more into the digital ecosystem of organizing your community. And even doing that is going to add a just untold amount of value to your in real life events again, because all of a sudden it's going to just all feel that much more cohesive, because rather than it being one dog and pony show that you run once a year and you have to ramp all the way up to, it's just how you operate, and it becomes a much more effortless, kind of comfortable, casual extension of your brand, because it's not like, oh, we can't screw this up, right? It's, we do this, like, this is us, like, let's just keep carrying on, so.
Yeah, the other thing it does is it allows people to continue to make, reignite connections they made at conferences. There have been plenty of times where I had a passing conversation with someone getting coffee, and I'm like, oh man, I'd like to pick that guy's brain, but like, I didn't get his business card. Like, I might know his name, I might know we've worked, but like, I'm not gonna like, if I can't find him on LinkedIn, that's pretty much where it's gonna end for me. But if you're creating a community where there's like a repository of everyone that attended, and you can reach out through that community, you know, don't just give their email address away, respect people's privacy. But if I'm able to send them a message that you forward along to their email address or something like that, you're helping facilitate business development and you're helping facilitate partnerships. And that is what's going to keep people coming back to your conference year after year, because as long as they can prove ROI, they'll be there every single year, maybe even in a larger group. The other thing I would say is that hybrid events are a unique scenario in that you're going to have two people who had the same takeaways with two completely different experiences. And there's going to be interesting things to talk about, and trying to bring those people together. As I said, I don't think you should do it during the event. It's awkward and it feels awkward. But if afterwards you're encouraging people to connect through this digital community, you are facilitating additional networking opportunities that didn't exist to them during the conference, and it's going to keep them engaged for longer.
Yep. So that brings us to the end of our episode that focuses on 8 hybrid event ideas. We hope you all have found a lot of value in it. If you could, please remember before you go to rate, review, and subscribe. Your reviews help us find more listeners for our podcast, and your subscription ensures you're notified each day when we publish a new episode. So, until tomorrow, I'm Patrick Reif.
And I'm Alex McGlynn.
Peace.